Awesome. I'm right? Am I right? Can you hear me? Awesome. Cool. Hey, sorry? Better recover if it's, my fly's down or something. Whew, better recover, not so bad. That was the hint. Awesome. Hey, thanks for that, Ben and team. That was awesome. Hey, guys, well, today we've got a bit of a two-parter for you. Oh, man, you love that, eh? Two parts, yes. Love getting here and doing that. But, hey, people who are struggling with eyesight, can you see that down the back? Together. Is it spelt right? I struggle from time to time. The letters are wrong. What? Oh, the lectern's in the way. Oh, that's right. You know what it means, away. Oh, symbolic. Together. Can't even see it. Just picture the words. Picture the words. Hey, Liz, can you check up the slide for us this morning? Woo. Have a get around. Okay, so, yeah, I think she'll find the picture soon. As you see, guys, today is Children's Day. So it's a time when I think around New Zealand, yesterday and today, I think they're putting a pretty special focus on that, which is cool, and there's cool stuff on for kids. And also it's a time as well when, in some cases politically as well, they focus on issues dealing with children in our nation. And so today we're going to take a look at kind of the predicament about where we are at from a church perspective, eh? So, yeah, it's going to be interesting, eh? Which is good fun. It's a bit heavy, but yeah, I just pray that you'll come along with me on this journey. So let's pray, eh? So God, thank you we can be in this space, Lord. And just as we hear this stuff this morning, Lord, I pray, Father, through your Spirit, Lord, that, yeah, what is needed to be heard here this morning, Father, will be heard, Lord. And you just help us, yeah, to take the stuff on board, Lord. And Father, through your Spirit, we'll be drawn closer to you. Amen. Cool. Now, I'm going to read this out mostly because I'm not very good at doing cue cards and other bits. But anyway, here we go. So guys, I want to share with you a story this morning. And this story was about a farming community gathered together for harvest. At the end of a tiring day, during darkness as they were packing up, they realized a small boy was missing. For hours, they searched for him without success. The next morning, at first light, they began their search again. An old farmer suggested that they all join hands and thoroughly search the fields. They quickly found the boy, but he had died of exposure during the night. And his distraught mother cried out, "If only we had joined hands sooner." See, this morning, guys, I want to use this story as an illustration for our current predicament. Our kids are getting lost. Currently speaking, the literature is suggesting that in New Zealand, by the age of 20, 8 out of 10 of every kid who currently attends church will have left not only the church, but also their faith as well. And these just aren't numbers on a screen or kids from other churches. These will be our kids. And for those of us who are parents or young parents, you know, it's really hard to conceive this because it seems so far away. But there are many in this space here this morning who will tell you a different story, attesting to the fact that the days are long, but the years are short, and also of their own kids who have become lost. You see, one of the major problems we face today is our fields are growing bigger. Once where culture, at least to some degree, pointed kids back home, today it does the opposite. Through massive moves in media, relationship breakdowns, and such a strong diversity in values, our kids are struggling. We're heading into uncharted waters. Never before has technology moved so fast, has information become so readily available, and our kids are becoming overexposed to anything and everything. Yet at the same time, they've been starved from what they need the most, which is healthy relationships. Researchers and sociologists can't turn back to history to predict the future because we've never seen anything like this before. Now, the church's response over the past few decades is instead of joining hands, has kind of done the opposite. They've created specialized search teams, youth pastors, children's pastors, youth groups, and other specialized groups, which, hear me out, are awesome and have done amazing stuff. But in that process, the church has made one tragic mistake. We sent them into the fields alone. But the fields are too big. There are too many gaps, and our kids have and are slipping through. One of the major problems we have, guys, is we have not been doing this together. So how do we respond? Over the last few years, there's become a shift in bringing people closer together to close these gaps. Children and youth pastors have begun partnering with parents and helping build faith. And the good news is we're already on that journey. We've started it, and it's been great. However, it is important to stress, it's not just the partnership between parents and children or youth pastors that will help reverse this trend. It is all of us. Over the past few weeks, we've been asked as a church community to do three things: to serve, to attend a small group, and be committed here on Sundays. And I want to help to create a picture, guys, of what the future can look like in this place as we go on this journey together. You see, when all of us are committed, and all of us are committed and serving in some way in our church community, it will mean we'll see so much less of burnout, because the workload will be spread among many. And in ministries relating to children and youth, we'll have enough committed leaders to not only just fill roster systems, but people who will be committed to long-term relationships with our kids. And some gaps will close. See, when all of us as a community are committed to small groups, committing to being accountable to one another and to growing spiritually, it will be our kids' leaders who will be continually growing spiritually as well. It will mean they'll not simply be transferring information, but instead going along the same journey as we want our kids to go. They won't be doing church just for them. They'll be doing church with them. It will mean our parents, who are the primary faith passer-onerers, if you would, of our children, will no longer be alone and feel isolated in their journey, but have support, and some gaps will close. And combined with that, when all of us are committed to Sundays and are intentional about what it means to be in this place and together, and not just in this space, but in every space the ministry takes place on a Sunday morning, our kids will be able to see more people passionate about their faith. They'll be able to hear more stories of what God has done and what God is doing. They'll be able to see more of a diversity of people from all walks of life and see people being restored from all types of brokenness. You see, when we are committed to Sunday mornings, our kids themselves will be able to be better connected into their own small groups, to exercise their own faith by having more opportunities to pray, to share, and encourage their peers, and some gaps will close. Guys, I could go on and on and on about this, because you see, here's the deal, and this is huge. When I came across this, like in my studies last year at Kerry, it kind of just stopped me in my tracks. What kids learn about in Jesus and experience about in Jesus in Sunday school is significant and is essential, but it is only a part of their spiritual growth. We are all, for a word, Sunday school for our kids. We are all youth group. How we act, not only in our homes, but as a community of faith, is what how it shapes our kids' faith. We as a community of followers play a significant part in the faith development of our kids. It's all of us who creates the environment in which the Holy Spirit moves. But hear me out, guys. We all go through tough seasons as individuals and families, and our capacity levels are limited and sometimes hindered. And that is normal. But we still all play a part. You see, none of us have got it all together. But together, we've got it. We have the ability to join hands, to close gaps, to join together with each other and to make this a place where our kids can more fall more deeply in love with Jesus and journey with him forever. A great African proverb has stated, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. And I saw a quote recently that said, it takes a great village to raise a great child. And I'd like to add to this by saying, it takes a village of great faith to raise a child of great faith. Guys, we can be that village, but we can only do this together. So guys, I'm going to ask you to do something a little bit different. I'm going to ask you to get out of your seats now and find a space just around the outside of the auditorium. So can you do that now for us, please? Awesome. Whoa, yep, find a space along there. Oh, wow. We've done it. I think we'd pull it off. It's awesome. Right, you know what's coming next, Dave? Yes. Alex or somebody to come connect in? No? All right. Jason goes there. I'll be in a second anyway, don't worry. We'll be cool for now. We'll just pray for this bit. So, and guys, now I'd like you to, you love this, join hands, which is all good. Awesome. Alrighty. You see where I'm going here, eh? We're going to pray shortly. But I wanted this to symbolize what it means for us to come together as a community and to close these gaps. And to be honest, I thought we wouldn't get all the way around. We have, which is awesome. Because the reality is as well that we haven't in the past, and we are not going to completely close the circle in the future when it comes to closing the gaps for our kids. But anyway, guys, just as you are at this moment, I just want to bow your heads and pray. That's cool. Father God, as we are here together in this space together and joining hands, Lord, may you bring to mind our kids in this community. First of all, Father, the ones who have been part of this community and are now lost. Father, there are so many. Father God, thank you that you are a God of hope, that you're a God of mercy, and you're a God of grace. And Father, we pray for those that they would find their way home. And Father, we pray for those that are now part of our community. From young to old, our little ones all the way to those even journeying through high school. Father, that you give us wisdom. You give us the grace and the ability to join hands, Lord. Father, change is never easy, and we've been asked as a community to do some, for some of us, might be some hard things when it comes to the serving and the small groups and the Sundays. Father, help us through that change. Father, let us see there is something bigger than just our own spiritual journey at stake as well. But Lord, when we can put this together, it'll mean our children, Father, will find it so much easier to journey through this time, and so fewer will become lost. So yeah, God, we just pray, Lord, that this wouldn't be a kind of flash in the pan talk, discussion, because as our mother cried out, time is something we don't have. Our kids are growing up rapidly, and they need us now. Be with us in this place, Lord. Thank you that You are in the space, but Lord Father, help us grow together as a community and to be a village of faith. In your name we pray. Amen. Cool. All righty, guys, you can now return to your seats. Thanks for that. Is this where you need the help for the video? Oh, yeah, pause it.
My three-year-old.
Can you pause it and start that? Cool. So, guys, we're going to chuck this one up, this sign here, just in the foyer to go through. And as you see that, I just here hope it does remind you and prompt you about just the journey that we are on and the community that we are becoming, which I think is really awesome. But that was part one. Now, part two. When it comes to our kids, something you know, Jesus talks about in the Bible is about having faith like a child. And we've got a guy in here today who's going to be talking a little about what that means to have a faith like a child. So, yeah, I'm just going to let him say the rest. So if we can cue that.
Cool. Burst through the front door of our house, and she ran into the room that I was in, and she's waving this new blue plastic shovel, and her eyes are as wide as they can get, and she's darting back and forth going, "Dad, Dad, Dad, new blue shovel, Dad, Dad, new blue shovel, Dad, new blue shovel." You can just see all the gears in her mind spinning, imagining all of the holes that we're going to dig together in the sand. It's like she held in her hand an entryway into a whole new world of possibility and potential. All of it because now she has a new blue plastic shovel. There is this primal sense of wonder and awe in the face of a child when they're fully absorbed in the moment. They're thrilled with this sense of anticipation, just what kind of experiences are right around the corner. It is something to behold, this pure, unbridled joy. Life has a way of beating that wonder and awe out of us, doesn't it? You get betrayed, you pour time and energy and money into something, and then it blows up in your face. It doesn't go the way that you thought it was supposed to, or you lose something, or you lose someone. And it's as if there's this ever so thin layer of hardness that begins to build around your heart. And then you're burned again, and it's like that layer gets a little harder and a little thicker. And so you roll your eyes more frequently, and you're a bit more cynical and jaded and skeptical, and you pull back, you retreat. I mean, why would I stick my neck out if I'm going to get shot at like that again? And so ever so gradually, with your arms folded over your chest, you become one more spectator. I don't believe this is what God intends for us. As it's written in the Psalms, taste and see that God is good. Well, taste is about the full engagement of our senses. Taste is about our belief that there's way more going on here than we first realized. Taste is about our flesh and blood encounters with the divine in people and places and events. Taste is about your awareness that God is as close and near as your breath. Jesus invites us to this taste, to experience the new thing that God is doing in the world. And he says that to experience this, you must become like a child. Now, there's a distinction to be made here. Childlike is much different than childish. Childish is essentially a posture of the heart. It is a hardness. It is a refusal. It is the resistance of that which isn't thoroughly familiar. Childish is the stomping of the foot, the folding of the arms, the cynical, jaded, there's nothing new here. But childlike, childlike is the ways in which you are open to the wonder and awe that is around us every single moment of every single day. Now, there is a great deal of misunderstanding, especially in religious and faith communities, about the very nature of this taste. And there are, in these days, all sorts of very, very strange, ongoing, heated discussions about trying to get the words right, as if Jesus' highest intention for us is that we would have correct doctrinal thinking. If that's the case, then Jesus would have said, "Blessed are those who are more right than everybody else." It's one thing to talk about it, It's another thing to taste. It's one thing to be right. It's another thing to be overwhelmed. I actually think this is why so many people, you hear them using this cliche, which is such a cliche that it's become very, very true for so many people when they say, I am spiritual but not religious. I essentially think what people are saying is that the very institutions that were supposed to cultivate and nurture this wide-eyed sense of wonder about life and God's good world have failed at some very, very profound level, essentially becoming so caught up and so deeply, deeply obsessed with defending and analyzing and holding everything up to this predetermined set of criteria that they at some deep, deep, deep level lost the ability to be surprised, to be filled with wonder and awe. It's interesting, when Jesus talks about what we would say would be criteria or results or proof or whatever you want to call it, what Jesus says is that his followers, his people, the ones who are open to the new thing that God is doing in the world, the ones who have said yes to him and trust him, he says you'll know them by their fruit. And fruit comes because you have first tasted. You have tasted of God's love, joy, peace, and grace, and it transforms you from the inside out into a new kind of person. This is the kind of fruit Jesus speaks of. Perhaps this is why when he speaks to his disciples, he says those two words to them, follow me. It's as if he's calling each of us to return to that childlike sense of wonder, awe, and anticipation. He reaches deep down there through all those layers of hardness into our heart and says, follow me. He calls us and confronts us with this invitation to leave behind all of the reasons we have to be jaded and bitter and cynical. Because let's be honest, what you look for, you will find in this world. He calls us to leave behind all of our reasons for folding our arms over our chest and becoming one more spectator. And he says, come, follow me, move beyond all that. We all want to be successful, but what we really want is wonder and awe. That's our real desire. Jesus invites us to an experience, to a taste of the full, vibrant, dynamic, electric life of God, which he insists is available to every single one of us right here, right now. So may you rediscover this childlike sense of discovery and anticipation. May you be open to the new thing that God is doing right here, right now. And may you be wide-eyed and filled with wonder and awe.
All right. Hey, let us pray after that, eh? And then we'll close in a song. God, thank you for our kids. For those of us who have the privilege of working alongside them and with them, particularly when we're talking about you and doing stuff with you, it is so awesome to see that wonder in and amongst them, Lord. Father, to see their hearts so open to you and so open to the wonders that you have. And Father, we as a community, and moving forward as well, Father, so many of us have to rediscover that because life is so hard. So many of us have become jaded from so many experiences. Some experiences we ourselves have put ourselves into, but many have been placed upon us. So, Father, as we just head into our last song here, it talks about joy. Father, I pray that we would be able to taste, Lord, Father, of what you have in store for us, what you have for us now. And Father, we'd live our faith not out of just commitment or what we know is right, but Father, out of a real, vibrant relationship with you. And it is that real, vibrant relationship with you that our kids are so desperate to see in us as a community. They have it, But so often they get confused when they see so many of us apparently not. Lord, may we rediscover you in all your fullness. Amen.